Today's edition of the Morologue is dedicated to the date February 8, with heavy emphasis on what happened on this day in 1974. The reason being, it was on that day Mama Ranallo gave birth to her youngest son, Ezio Leo Ranallo. Yeah, that means my little bro is the big 5-0. He's putting the 50 in 50 Cent, cause it's your birthday. We're gonna party like it's your birthday. We're gonna sip Bacardi like it's your birthday. And while I love me some hip-hop, Ezio's more into 80s hair bands, which is ironic because he's as bald as a bowling ball. Hey, speaking of which, let's roll out some facts about the 8th day of February 1974. As always, a big thank you to Morologue researcher Wikipedia. Well, February 8, 1974 was a Friday. Unlike this year, it wasn't a leap year. The Western zodiac or sun sign of a person born on February 8 is Aquarius. Yes, the water bearer, a fixed sign with air as Western element. Now, based on the data published by the United Nations Population Division, an estimated 121,673,775 babies were born throughout the world in the year 1974. Now, the estimated number of babies born on this day, the day my bro was born, 333,353. Now, that's equivalent, we did some quick back of the envelope math here, 231 babies every minute. Try to imagine if all of them are crying at the same time. Now, here in the United States, the most popular baby name, and yeah, my brother was born in Canada, but here in the United States, the most popular baby name on February 8, 1974 is Jennifer. This name was given to 63,112 baby girls. Now, for the boys, it was Michael. This name was recorded 67,583 times in the year 1974. The world population that year, well, just, it's half of what it is now, because we just recently passed 8 million people on Earth, and back in 1974, it was around 4,016,600 human beings. The number one hit song on the U.S. on this day back when my bro was born is Love's Theme by Love Unlimited Orchestra. The movie The Exorcist was at the top of the box office. The disco look beginning to take off. Women were wearing t-shirts, khaki pants, mood rings, kimonos, and flare jumpsuits. Meanwhile, men, they were wearing velvet sports coats, slogan t-shirts, flannel, frilly shirts, jeans, and khaki chinos. Well, my brother celebrates his milestone birthday with Guy Manuel de Homem Cristo. You know him better as one half of Daft Punk, a French musician, singer, songwriter, and producer who was Daft Punk along with Thomas Bangalter. The French electronic music duo formed back in 1993 in Paris. They achieved early popularity in the late 90s as part of the French house movement, combining elements of house music with funk, disco, techno, rock, and synth pop. The duo garnered further acclaim and commercial success and are now regarded as one of the most influential acts in dance music history. Their debut studio album, Homework, was released by Virgin Records in 1997 to positive reviews, backed by the singles Around the World and Defunk. Yeah, those two bangers, along with the likes of One More Time, made my life as a club DJ in the 90s and early aughts much easier, as those tunes always filled the dance floor. In 1999, Daft Punk assumed robot personas for public appearances with helmets, outfits, and gloves to disguise their identities. They toured throughout 2006 and 07. They released the live album Alive 2007, which won a Grammy Award for Best Electronic Dance Album. The tour is credited for popularizing dance music in North America. In 2013, Daft Punk left Virgin for Columbia Records and released their fourth and final album, Random Access Memories, which was released to acclaim. The lead single, Get Lucky, reached the top 10 in the charts of 27 countries. Random Access Memories won 5 Grammy Awards in 2014, including Album of the Year and Record of the Year for Get Lucky. In 2016, Daft Punk gained their only number one on the Billboard Hot 100 with Starboy, a collaboration with The Weeknd. Daft Punk announced its split in 2021. American actor and huge pro wrestling fan Seth Green, he's also 50 today. He's been acting since he was 7. I had a chance to talk to him briefly at my one and only WrestleMania appearance in 2016 in Texas at Cowboys Stadium. Gotta say, he's a talented dude. I envy his voiceover work. He's the voice of Chris Griffin on the Fox adult animated sitcom Family Guy. He also created, directed, wrote, and produced the adult animated comedy series Robot Chicken and its spin-offs, which have earned him 3 Primetime Emmy Awards. And the late legendary street fighter turned mixed martial artist Kevin Ferguson, a.k.a. Kimbo Slice, he would have also turned 50 today. Unfortunately, he passed away June 6, 2016, at the age of 42 due to heart failure. He headlined the first MMA event to air on primetime major American network television, Elite XC, on CBS, May 31st, 2008. It was an honor for yours truly to be a part of that historic broadcast, working with the likes of Gus Johnson and MMA legend, my business manager, and one of my besties, Frank the Legend Shamrock. And what made the night even more special is the guy responsible for giving me my first big break as a combat sports announcer, UFC Hall of Famer, and my former Pride Fighting Championships broadcast partner, Bas Rutten, was in Kimbo's corner as his trainer. And you know, now that I think of it, I got to give a mega Morlog shout out to former CBS Entertainment president Kelly Call for everything he's done for me. Not only was I a part of the first MMA broadcast on major network television, but 14 years later, Kelly signed off on me hosting the reality show Beyond the Edge, which aired for one season in 2022 on CBS. Had a blast filming the show, featuring celebrities braving the jungle in Bocas del Toro, Panama, to raise money for charity. Colton Underwood, former Bachelor, was the winner, but it was really great getting to know all 9 contestants and the entire incredibly talented crew. But yeah, got to give a shout out to Colton, Ray Allen, Meta World Peace, Mike Singletary, Craig Morgan, Jody Sweetin, Paulina Poroskova, Ebony K. Williams, and Lauren Elena. Yeah, I give a lot of shout outs on this show. It's my show and I can do what I want. By the way, that opportunity to host Beyond the Edge, which aired Wednesday nights immediately following the Juggernaut Survivor, that came out of nowhere in the midst of the pandemic. And I'm eternally grateful to Mitch Graham as well. He's now co-head of CBS Specials, an alternative group. He was the guy who originally threw my name in the ring to host Beyond the Edge. And hey, I'm always game, again, pun always intended, to give it another go, especially since I'm now, unemployed. I'd like to try my hand at hosting a game show or something fun like that before all of the A-listers take those jobs. Oh, you know it's coming. Shout out, Slaylister. Hope you're doing well in school, young lady, and behave yourself on Roblox. Well, I mentioned Seth Green celebrating his 50th birthday and all of the voiceover work he's done with Family Guy, with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He was even the voice of Joker in a video game. Just a really talented dude. And I'm actually recording this podcast in my closet studio, and I'm hoping to manifest more VO work. We'll talk for food. And I mean that. But it's interesting. I would like to do a lot more voiceover work, but there's a two-letter juggernaut in my way. It's called AI, which will probably soon make everything I know how to do obsolete. But hey, it's my brother's 50th birthday. It's the podcast of positivity, and we got to keep it going here. And you know what? Maybe my life will come full circle. The last job I had before starting my TV career at the age of 16 was working drive-through at KFC. Although I got to say, I don't know about wearing those uniforms in middle age. Hell, they were hideous wearing them as a teenager. I think I'm just going to continue to bide my time building the moral log. I'm hoping listenership reaches double figures soon. Hey, Ree Kardashians, tell your friends to listen to the moral log. Speaking of CBS TV sitcom, Good Times, a spinoff from Maud, starring Esther Rolle, John Amos, and J.J. Walker, who once performed at a nightclub in Abbotsford on a night in which I was DJing. I tell you, Forrest Gump-esque career here. But Good Times, it debuted on CBS February 8, 1974, same day my brother was born. Historically, Good Times was the first spinoff from a spinoff, Maud from All in the Family, Good Times from Maud, and like The Jeffersons, which launched 1 year after Good Times, there was a huge disparity in the ages of the cast members. At the sitcom's inception, Esther Rolle was 53, John Amos was only 34, and I believe there were 20 years difference between George and Wheezy Jefferson, with Wheezy being 20 years older than Sherman Helmsley, who portrayed Mr. Jefferson. In terms of some interesting facts when it comes to Good Times, Walker said he based his character's mannerisms on Ed Norton from The Honeymooners, who was played by Art Carney. Walker was also offered the role of the Scarecrow in the 1978 movie The Wiz, but he had to turn it down because it conflicted with his Good Times taping schedule. Director Sidney Lumet, he thought Walker looked like a Scarecrow and was unfazed when Walker admitted he could not sing or dance. Michael Jackson was cast instead. It would be Jackson's first and only acting role in a feature film. Now, Norman Lear, of course, the 70s sitcom king who created Good Times, he saw Gary Coleman in a bank commercial and was determined to find a show for him. He showcased Coleman as a guest star on Good Times and The Jeffersons before his star-making turn as Arnold, what you talking about, Willis, Jackson on Different Strokes. And the Good Times theme song, and boy, those 70s sitcoms had some amazing theme songs. The Good Times theme song was composed by Dave Grusin, lyrics by Oscar winners Alan and Marilyn Bergman, and was performed by Motown veterans Jimmy Gilstrap and Blinky Williams. Ain't we lucky we got them? Good Times. And Yahoo, speaking of Good Times, provides us with what happened in sports on February 8th, on this day. 88 years ago today, the first NFL draft was held in Philadelphia, where the league's then nine teams selected 81 players across nine rounds. The Eagles took University of Chicago running back Jay Berwanger, the winner of the inaugural Heisman Trophy, with the first overall pick. Now, his rights were traded to the Bears as the Eagles were unable to meet his demand of $1,000 per game, Most players were making $50. The Bears came close to a deal, but couldn't afford him either. So Berwanger took a job at a Chicago rubber company, meaning that the inaugural Heisman Trophy winner, signaling the best player in college football, the number one pick in the first NFL draft, never played a single down in the league. On this day in 1986, Spud Webb beat Dominique Wilkins in the slam dunk contest at 5'7". That's right, 5'7". Spud Webb remains the shortest winner and one of two under 6 feet, the other being Nate Robinson. And yes, another Forrest Gump-esque connection. I was on the call along with Snoop Dogg, Sugar Ray Leonard, and Israel Adesanya when Robinson was sent to the Shadow Realm by Jake Paul on the Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. undercard, November 2020, in what was Nate Robinson's ill-fated boxing debut. It all went down at the Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles, where, by the way, later today, a statue of the late Lakers legend Kobe Bryant will be unveiled. Today's more ovation comes from Mamba himself. Bryant said, "I have self-doubt. I have insecurity. I have fear of failure. I have nights when I show up at the arena and I'm like, my back hurts. My feet hurt. My knees hurt. I don't have it. I just want to chill." We all have self-doubt. You don't deny it, but you also don't capitulate to it. You embrace it. Thank you for listening to The Morologue. Now, go and hold the door open for someone and keep fighting the good fight. Buon compleanno, fratello!
Mamma mia, Mora Juana is the shit.